With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We might just be in France, but this is global. These players are icons. Their stories are noble. In fact, each story into the game is golden. It's way more than just a game. It's a player's story into the pitch and all that she overcame. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Just finishing up in the studio, are you good?
Yeah, I'm good, just at LAX, about to jump on a plane to France, actually.
Oh, mate, so excited, absolutely buzzing. Are you ready?
I'm so ready, let's go.
A wonderful shot there by Nadim. Take a bow, a true inspiration on and off the pitch. What a wonderful talent.
Because, you know, I don't know what it is, but I have this thing when people deny me something or tell me I can't do it, then I want to do it even more. When you win over that, the feeling afterwards is freaking awesome. And I wanted to prove it wrong, and I did.
Fantastic pace down the wing by Lisa Diavada. Looks for the cross the ball in the goal. Ball goes in the box. Oh! What a wonderful goal! Assist there by Lisa Diavada.
There's no bigger sporting event in the world than going to a World Cup. That's the pinnacle of all sports. To represent your country and to be part of spying a nation, spying a little girl, there's no bigger honour than doing that.
New Zealand now break forward. Ali Riley there, picking up the ball in centre midfield, looking to spray it across to the right-hand side. A true captain there, the leader on and off the pitch. What a delivery.
I mean, it's made me the person I am, from being on a team with other girls, and the person I am is all because I play football.
Evans now on the ball, gets a 1-2 back. She gets the ball in the box and he's gone in. Oh! Just wide by Evans. What a wonderful shot there from the Arsenal forward.
Everyone was crying. We've qualified. And just that feeling, just that sheer emotion of everything that you've worked for in your footballing career to actually go and qualify for the first World Cup. Unbelievable. I can't even put it into words.
They're going to take a shot here. They do. Oh, and he's been tipped over the bar with an incredible save.
Welcome to Football Inside Out from Copa 90.
Hello and welcome along to Inside Out, a brand new football and entertainment podcast from Copa 90. I'm Heath Pierce, a retired footballer. I actually had a chance to play with the national team for a little bit in my career, 6 years to be exact. Played around 5 different countries, but now I am a future legend in the podcasting space. And I'm with...
Hi, I'm Monkey. Damn, that was quite an intro, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like mine's... I did not play for a national team, but I played for a pretty good team in London, and my bread and butter is pressing buttons and making people jump around. My name's Monkey, and I'm a DJ, and I like football.
Well, guess what, Monkey? Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to bring you all the action from the Women's World Cup in 2019 and all the biggest storylines in world football, which is pretty amazing. We're going to bring you how football feels. At least we're going to attempt to give you the goosebumps, the shivers, the laughs, cheers, and hopefully not many tears, but some, if it feels natural.
Happy tears.
Yeah, tears of joy.
Tears of joy, yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, we're going to be coming to you guys direct from Copa 90's clubhouse right in the center of Paris before heading to Lyon for the semifinals and the all-important final on the 7th of July.
I'm excited. 5 weeks in France with you, bro. You better get used to me.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we should probably just set a goal of not hating each other by the end.
That would
be
a good goal.
We'll build the foundation in love and we'll go from there.
Okay, that sounds great. I think we should probably get to know each other a little bit better. So we've got some questions set up for one another. Some quick fire round questions. You ready?
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned, but I'm ready.
Which team is your money on to win the Women's World Cup?
Oh, man. I mean, US, of course. But honestly, what I witnessed, at least from afar, from the England squad in the last World Cup, last summer, it was life-changing for me, and I had no skin in the game, just in terms of seeing a country kind of rise and everybody come together around a giant party. It was amazing.
Yeah. You
know? How about yourself?
It's got to be England. I mean, bias, whatever, but She Believes Cup gave me some serious confidence and some bragging rights as well.
They've got to be one of the few favorites, right?
Yeah, and then there's France as well. I think France are going to have a good...
We're going to have to talk about them at some point. But, you know, they are hosting, and we've seen what happens when hosts host.
Did you pick up two? You got one.
Where does your love of football come from?
It would be from... you know what? I don't even know, because my family don't even like football, which is mad. My dad's side are all from North London, and my cousins all support Arsenal... My granddad supports Arsenal, so that's why I support Arsenal. But I didn't really grow up with them much, so it wasn't from them. It was more just like, I remember seeing the lads play in the playground when I was younger. I was like 5 or 6, and I was just really wanted to give it a go. So I just did. And I, you know, you used to line up against the brick wall, and there'd be two captains, and one person would pick one person each. And this young kid called Russell West, big up Russell West, like didn't pick me last. And we were like... best mates for years after that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't that not the most like cutthroat thing ever
as a child
on the playground? Like the trauma that I think if you went back and everybody got therapy, it would eventually track back to that time they were picked last. A real thing. But same thing for me. Like my family didn't, if you were to ask my parents now, they're experts, right?
Because, yeah.
They've got all the answers to football. But I grew up in a very kind of ethnic neighborhood back home in California with a lot of Portuguese, Mexican, Italian farmers, and then Middle Eastern people. So there was like a real culture of football there. And not to say that we had like the greatest coaching, but we were always like all my friends growing up came from houses where their parents were like football was all that existed, right? And so that's sort of what made me get into the sport. And then falling in love was obviously being around all of us sharing these experience together, because certainly within my household, even though I have two brothers and a sister and playing sports together, it didn't come from like a culture within the house. It came from sort of the neighborhood, which is kind of cool because a lot of places in California don't have that. You know, a lot of places don't, are a little bit more, I don't know how to, without saying something bad about, just like very, just other parts in California don't have that diversity where you have such a footballing culture within your neighborhood. So
we used to play in the street, just the street I grew up on. It was like very small, like as in small as in, it wasn't very wide, just like cars parked either side and everyone would just jump out on the street and play, like doors would be open and stuff.
That's amazing.
And
that's
like
so cool.
Stick some jumpers on the floor and make some goals.
I'm hoping someday that like that happens everywhere, especially in the US, you know, not just like on nice pitches somewhere with organized games, that the culture really builds to a point where people just pop out into the neighborhood and they're playing in the street and it's like built and it's not curated to be that way, but it just naturally happens,
right,
as a sport. I hope it happens like that someday in the US.
That was the difference I found, not so much now because they, you know, it's the standards have changed, but definitely like a few years ago, the difference between like women's football in the States and women's football here was you guys had like a proper developed system. You guys were proper athletes, you know, you trained every day. And here, like, it wasn't such the case. We mainly played with like lads growing up. So like everyone was always trying to like do each other.
Yeah. Oddly enough, in a lot of these interviews that we've done so far, which everyone's going to get to listen to throughout the World Cup, one of the common themes of a lot of the women was that, yeah, I played till I was 12 with boys or 14 with boys or however old. And you're right, the system was quite different in the US because it was much more structured for a much longer time of,
yeah,
you know, mixing up the teams. But that's just a different story for people to tell. But it was a more common theme here for people to saying, like, when I was asking to sort of tell me your story over this period, it was like, yeah, well, I played on all boys teams until this point. And then eventually I moved off. But it's not generally the same story you get, at least in the States.
Yeah, it's all different. All the stories have been different from every part of the world. Tell us one fact about you that people might not know.
Oh, man. Actually, back in the day, there was a nice 5-6 year run where I had dabbled in the old DJ scene.
Ah.
Yeah. Wasn't very good, But I will say that the person that I bought my original like vinyl turntables from, before they would sell me any sort of technology, things that I wanted to use, any Serato stuff, he was like, learn how to listen to music on vinyl first, and gave me these stacks of vinyl. Learn how to like beat match on this and whatnot. And then after that, I'll teach you how to do other things. And it was actually a nice little foundation for music for me, but I wouldn't say I'm any good at it.
Did you learn to DJ on vinyl?
Yeah, yeah. I learned to DJ on vinyl, mostly more on like hip hop stuff. And then I bought CDJs, and then I thought that I was like this, you know, up and coming thing that quickly died. But I still have them in my house as like decorations.
You still have them?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I was going to bring them out here, but they're really heavy.
Yeah.
In a case.
Have like, you ever like moved vinyl when you move house?
Yeah.
It takes like days.
What's the one thing that nobody knows about you?
I wouldn't say nobody knows, but like fun fact.
Okay.
I have a little pet rabbit and his name's Thierry.
Why Thierry?
Henri.
Oh.
Hero.
Okay.
Absolute hero of mine.
Yeah, I like that. So you associate your hero to a rabbit.
Yeah, no, other way around. But you know what? I got told when I bought him that he was like half French, so that also kind of...
Half French?
Yeah, like a French breed. So I was like...
French passport. Nice. Hasn't taught you any French, though.
At Thierry the Rabbit, if you want to follow him on Instagram, just saying.
Oh, wow, it's official. All right, let me pull another one from here, then. Let's see here. Nice little segue. Who is your footballing hero?
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, I have all the answers to the test.
Yeah, man, it's got to be Thierry Henry. That Invincible season was like my peak childhood getting into, well, I was already well into football, but just like watching it all the time, playing it all the time. So that whole team. Mate, I got to take Perez to a football game the other week.
Yeah?
It was crazy. I don't get starstruck with music people, but athletes, I'm just like, you're sick.
I played with him. For a couple seasons.
Just sticking that out there. Just throwing that out there.
So he's not my hero because, you know, you don't want to meet your heroes, I don't think. I'm a firm believer in not meeting your heroes or knowing your heroes. Meeting your heroes, fine. Knowing them, it takes away that mystique of them being a hero. But yeah, I played with him for a couple of years on the New York Red Bulls. Great guy. But I would say my, oh man, footballing hero. Jeez. Roberto Carlos.
Yeah.
So strong. In terms of the defensive position, attacking minded, getting into the attack, supporting in the attack instead of the sort of this traditional sit back defender, really changed the game. And it actually, what I think is helped pave a career for myself.
Big up Roberto.
Yeah.
Wait, whose go is it?
Yours.
Is it?
I just drew one.
All right. So how would your teammates best describe you?
Oh man, probably as a shit stirrer, to be honest.
A shit stirrer?
Yeah.
Well, be careful around you then.
Yeah. Not in a bad way, but like, I will find the issue in the locker room of two people having an argument. I'll step in as a moderator to act like I'm going to clean up this problem and I'll make it worse and then walk away and just sort of leave them to deal with it. So if two people are arguing about something, I'll bring the whatever it is that's going to add more fuel to the fire and then just step out and be like, watch from a distance. Yeah, not my problem. Not in a bad way. More in like an ornery way. Not in like a...
In an entertaining
The second
way.
Thing my teammates would say about me is that they love me.
Okay, there it is. There it is.
So the first is that I'm a shit stirrer. Second, that they love me. So that's where you know where it's coming from. What about you?
Maybe a bit of a clown. Like, I'm not very serious at training. I mean, I take training seriously, but I'm always like joking around, hitting people around the head with a football. My nickname for a couple of games was Goat, but not because, you know, those goats that like freeze and pretend they've died.
Yeah, I love those goats.
My nickname on the squad is Peanut because I'm just tiny.
Yeah.
Basically. I'm 5'1", man. Come on. My parents are small. Give me a chance.
Yeah. But you're a striker.
I'm small but mighty.
Yeah. Low center of gravity. Get around.
Exactly.
People. Best player you've ever seen live or best player you've ever played against?
I mean, I haven't played against any sort of amazing players that I can remember. I played against Joe Cole at the weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. You want to know a fun fact about that before?
Go on.
I was supposed to be Joe Cole that day.
No way.
And I backed out. You left. You were here.
Yeah.
And then you left.
Yeah.
And then I had to do other stuff and I couldn't go.
Oh, right.
And then Joe Cole filled in. Took my glory. They went on to win the championship, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. But they had Joe Cole on their team. Come on.
I would say the best, man, I've played against some good players, mostly with the national team. At the club level, I didn't really get to a level where I was playing regularly against the top players. But I'd say the best performance I'd ever seen was playing against Brazil one summer and Ronaldinho was on the pitch. Everything he did was effortless. And again, you hear these cliches all the time in football, but he was just having fun and no one could get near him. No one could get the ball from him. Ref blew the whistle. He put it down, looked up behind him at the referee, and while he was doing that, clipped the ball over the top for literally to put a guy into a breakaway in the first like 10 minutes of the match. And I was just like, this guy's from another planet. This is not normal. And so his performance the entire match was incredible. And it was just the best performance I'd ever seen or witnessed in person. I told this story to Ashley Cole and Michael Essien like a year ago when we had them into the office. And I was saying, yeah, Ronaldinho, he was just laughing all the time. He was having so much fun. Every time he touched the ball, he was just laughing and laughing and having a good time while he was just taking the piss out of us. And then Michael Essien like interrupted in the middle and was like, he's not laughing all the time. He's just got messed up teeth.
What do you mean?
He was saying it looks like he's laughing all the time or smiling, but he's not because he just can't close his mouth, so his mouth is always open. I was like, that's so mean to say.
No way.
But they all laughed about it and they thought it was funny. I think obviously they're friends, so it wasn't a thing. But yeah, that was Michael Essien's response to that story.
So he's not happy, he's just got a big set of gnashes.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
Yeah, he's not always laughing, it's just that he can't not laugh.
God, that would be annoying if you were actually pissed off, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Kind of bullying from Michael Essien.
I wonder if that's real.
No, they gotta surely be friends. Not. Oh, wow. Last one. Oh, man. Coolest place you've ever traveled. What a way to finish this. Man, this was a planted question at the very bottom. Coolest place you've ever traveled.
Ever gone, ever. Not to be biased, but I love Asia.
Okay.
Because it's like the most...
Why is that biased?
Family are from there. I love it. Yeah, it's like the most alien place, I guess, I've ever been to like the Western world. Like the most... bizarre place in comparison.
Okay. Elaborate.
So I guess out of all the places, Korea was amazing.
Yeah.
South Korea was amazing.
But what about it makes it alien?
Okay, so I went to this spa in Korea.
You had a story already.
On the first day.
Just waiting for me to ask.
10-hour flight, got a bit boozy on the flight, landed, nowhere to go because it's too like early, it's not even 2 p.m. We can't even check into the hotel yet, so we have to go somewhere. What should we do? What's open? Where can we chill? Because we're kind of tired but a little bit drunk. Let's go to the spa. So I went to the spa. You get given these like what can only be described as pajamas for adults with like a big dragon on the front. So I'm already looking the pot. And then you get taken around. First room we walk into is this massive room with just like heated floors and people are just asleep everywhere on the floor. Then
on the floor,
just chilling. Just moms, dads, teenagers, kids, just chilling on the floor,
like
asleep. What,
like a visual of like Game of Thrones when people walk through like an old something.
Yeah,
and it's just people just on laid, the floor. Sprawled out on
just
the floor.
Just sprawled out on the floor, just okay. Chilling. And then the next room you walk into, so they're all kind of connected, is like this room with a pyramid in it and a igloo, and one room's cold, and then the next room's like an arcade. But you're still in spa stuff.
Like an arcade? Like
yes.
That's so yeah. Great.
And then someone walked past you, and they're just like eating a boiled egg.
Imagine the competition there, right? If they're all that way, and somebody's like, well, how are we going to be different than the next spa? They're like, well, they have hot and cold too, so let's add an arcade.
And they got me wearing this like... towel hat that looked like Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Like you had this thing on your head like this.
It's a good look.
I don't know if they were taking the piss, to be honest.
They were like taking pictures when you go through. They're like, oh, we got another set of tourists.
And I got this
on the wall.
You get a massage, and it's basically they're just like this old lady like beating you up who's like half naked. Bizarre. It wasn't a dream. This actually happened.
Physically therapeutic, but mentally traumatizing.
Slightly, yeah. Yeah. But an experience.
Did you come out better on the end? Did you feel better after?
Definitely more sober, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. That'll happen to you. Shoot, I think that's all the questions we have.
Yeah, that's it. If we have any unanswered ones, I'm sure we'll be getting those covered over the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. And hopefully they got to know us a little bit now, right?
I think so.
There'll be plenty more, and we hope that you guys will join us as we take a deep dive into all the action of this year's Women's World Cup, which starts in a few days' time. And make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from.
And join in the conversation online as well using the hashtag Copa90Icons.
Thank you, everyone. This has been Football Inside Out by Copa90.
This is a We Are Great production for Copa90.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.